1340 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's another case of an armed man near a Trump rally. Deputies arrested a man at a security checkpoint in Coachella, California over the weekend. CBS's Ann Schechter with details.
The U.S. Attorney's Office released a statement saying that Trump was not in any danger, and a federal law enforcement source told CBS News there was no indication that an assassination attempt was connected to this incident.
The man was charged with two misdemeanors, posted bail, and was freed. In Arizona, former President Trump falsely accused Vice President Harris of intentionally bringing criminals to the U.S.
For four straight years, she's imported an army of illegal alien gang members and migrant criminals from the dungeons all over the world.
For her part, at a church service in Greenville, North Carolina, Harris lashed out at the spreaders of disinformation about aid for people affected by Hurricanes Helene and Milton.
I think, sadly, frankly, the motives are quite transparent, to gain some advantage for themselves.
I'm Jim Crisul in North Carolina. CBS News has confirmed that FEMA removed some staff members from Rutherford County, North Carolina. They were forced to stop helping victims of the Hurricane Helene flooding and move to a different area. FEMA is concerned over reports of armed militia members threatening government workers in the region.
A Hezbollah drone strike on an army base in northern Israel has killed four Israeli soldiers and injured dozens. The BBC's Yolanda Nell reports from Jerusalem.
An initial investigation found that there were two drones that had been launched from Lebanon. One of these was intercepted, and the other one, it was assumed that perhaps it had crash-landed, but actually it went on to hit this training base.
The Pentagon is sending a sophisticated ballistic missile defense system to Israel, along with about 100 soldiers to operate it. The Nobel Prize in Economics was announced this morning by the Secretary General of the Royal Swedish Academy, Hans Ellegren.
This year's prize is about understanding differences in prosperity between nations.
The winners are Professors Darren Acemoglu and Simon Johnson from MIT and James Robinson from the University of Chicago. Some travel experts say today is the day you'll get the lowest price on your holiday flight. CBS News travel editor Peter Greenberg says 54 days from the date of travel is traditionally considered the best time to book a ticket.
You have two holidays coming up. You have Thanksgiving and you have Christmas. Already, you're a little bit late if you want to book for Thanksgiving because you're way within that 54-day period. And for every day that you wait to book, airfares could go up about 4%.
Dow futures down slightly at this hour. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Foxconn is expanding, but in Mexico, not Wisconsin. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The company has announced plans to expand its Guadalajara factory, aiming to create a massive chip manufacturing operation. The tech giant already employs 30,000 people south of the border. The development comes as many in the area still remember promises made by the company to bring thousands of jobs to Racine County. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Two workers in Milwaukee are going to be okay after the scaffolding they were on partially collapsed Thursday afternoon. It happened while they were restoring the Milwaukee County Courthouse facade. Rescuers got them safely to the roof. Investigators are looking into why the scaffolding gave way. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers jumped out to a 24-0 lead and never looked back on the way to a 34-13 win over the Cardinals. Quarterback Jordan Love.
That was the goal for us coming in this game was to be able to start fast and get in that rhythm. And obviously, I think the first drive, not coming with points was tough, but we were able to build on that and start building on that rhythm we wanted to have.
The Cardinals scored 13 points, but quarterback Kyler Murray said it was too little, too late.
If we scored before half or even after half, you're 17-24. score. And then you feel like it's a game. And then I think second half, man, we just two fumbles back to back. You know, penalties, it just can't let bad plays continue to happen against a good team. So it's too hard.
Up next, the Packers host the Houston Texans. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers with a decisive 42-7 win at Rutgers over the weekend. Wisconsin improved to 4-2. NBA, the Bucks host the Bulls tonight in a preseason game. Chris Middleton, though, is still likely not to play. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms by later this afternoon. Our high near 55. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20 this morning, dying down to 5 to 15 this afternoon. Rain and thunderstorms tonight. Could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch or more. Our low 40. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Nick Ramos, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We'll talk about Christian nationalism's unholy war on democracy, plus an update on Wausau Mayor Doug Denny.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Unabashedly Wisconsin News, as we like to call it, 7:06 now on this Monday morning, October 14th, 22 days until Election Day. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up this hour, we will talk to members of the group Veterans for Responsible Leadership, people who have served our country, know the importance of having a president who is elected by the people and respects democratic norms, and we'll talk to them in just a few minutes. Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, joins us, as does meteorologist Brittany Merlot and Greg Bach. And one of y'all's got a speaker turned up too loud because something's chirping back at me over here.
Yeah.
I regret to inform you by way of Greg first, because we talked about it earlier about nachos and things.
Yeah.
I am finding that a whole lot of recipes. Oh, and this was a tip from our text line from Jules. Jules texted in a listener to WXCO. She says, I always add brown sugar to my ground beef for Sloppy Joe's. And yeah, there's all kinds of Sloppy Joe recipes I'm discovering that have, along with your ground beef, they have brown sugar, Worcestershire sauce, mustard, tomato sauce, ketchup, garlic powder, okay. Onion powder.
All right, I'm hungry now, thanks. All right.
I know.
Seriously.
But the brown sugar in the ground beef for nachos, that was a new one on me. Brittany, how do you plead when it comes to doctoring your ground beef for nachos or Sloppy Joe's?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm pretty basic, but I'll try anything. That sounds delicious.
Okay.
I usually do chicken, so that's just me.
Okay. Selena, brown sugar in the ground beef?
No.
Okay.
I don't like stuff. I don't like barbecue sauce. I just...
Whoa.
Not, like,
wait
yeah.
a minute.
Really?
We're just anti-stuff. Anti-stuff.
I what like is it. That? Wait, no, I'm sorry. What does that mean, Selena? You don't like stuff like barbecue? Like, do you just eat a hot dog plain?
Well, a little ketchup, but like in, you know, pulled pork or pulled beef, just pork, no barbecue sauce, stuff like that.
All right, I got to go.
Okay, I know. Let's just turn to Brittany now with the weather here. Selena will be back with some actual news stories coming up in a bit.
Greg's gone.
Yep, he just left the studio. Brittany, how was your weekend?
Oh gosh, it was fantastic. I went out hiking the Ice Age Trail.
Nice.
I got this new challenge going on, so I decided, why not? I'm going to do it. See if I can do 44 miles this month, and I started halfway through the month, so I've got a long ways to go. So
holy cow.
I was walking. I was walking a lot.
It's a heck of a time to pick up on a challenge there.
I may or may not be able to do it, but you know, it gets me out there.
Okay.
A reason to go.
All right.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with the rain on Saturday afternoon into the evening. It seemed like it was almost training for a while between Madison and Milwaukee. Like, it just did not stop. And then it reached us in southwest Michigan, where I was for the weekend. Again, just wave after wave of heavy rain. I come back up here to Chippewa Falls, and the rain gauge is practically empty.
Yeah, what stark difference. I mean, yeah. Flights were delayed out of Milwaukee on Saturday because of some storms. Mm-hmm. We saw the grapple coming out of there, which is small little pieces of what looked like hail. But it's so cold up in the upper atmosphere that it's falling as that. And we have that chance again today. So those winds are still going to be whipping off the lake, still producing some scattered showers and storms, mainly staying far, far north for the beginning part of today. So a lot of sunshine central and south. But those showers and storms could definitely make their way throughout the entire state, especially this afternoon and after 4 o'clock. So more rain chances, storms potentially. None should be severe. Don't worry about that. But again, we are looking at anywhere from a quarter of an inch to, if you get under a storm that's staying there, maybe about an inch of rain or so, which we do need. And highs today only in the low 50s. And tomorrow, we drop to the upper 40s to low 50s. So still sticking in those cooler temperatures. And I think the entire state is going to see a hard freeze by tomorrow night.
Yeah, it was that was very apparent in a run into the grocery store when I got back to town last night and came out and it faces north. So I got that full force of the north wind, you know, as you're heading to your car. You're like, okay, summer's over. This is proof, and it is not coming back. Let's see, from Tigerton, good morning, Rob says, where it's partly cloudy and 38 degrees, got 0.3 inches of rain yesterday, the first measurable rain since September 22nd. We played Cliff Richard earlier, and he said he had a top 10 song around Christmas time, 1979. It's so funny how we don't talk anymore. Heard that song on the radio while going to church. He made lasagna for supper on Saturday. He said he did pretty good as he's trying to learn how to cook. And he says the best morning team on radio and social media, Pat, Greg, and Brittany. So there you go.
Did he put brown sugar in his lasagna, though? Did you, Robert?
You don't answer that. You don't have to answer that. Yeah, that's okay. Also, Mary Wanta writes in on Ben. She said she loved the movie, but boy, do I hate rats, but that Ben is a classic. So there you go. I knew nothing about this movie beforehand.
Look at the box of the movie. It's horrifying. And he just...
Horror movies just were never my jam. Kristen Lyerly is here at this point. She's a little busy doing the things that she does. And so Alicia was kind enough to write in. What would we do without the amazing OBGYN doctors like Dr. Lyerly and Dr. Kreitlow? Aw, thank you, Alicia. That's very nice as well. Brittany, thanks for the forecast and cooking tips. And we'll talk to you a little later on.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
All right. Ms. Heller, how was your weekend?
Oh, very good. We tried to get out and about and do some things. Spookly the Square Pumpkin. We went to the
Spookly the Square Pumpkin?
Spookly the Square Pumpkin. I did not know until this morning. Spookly is the official spokes pumpkin for National Bullying Prevention Month.
Oh,
there's a spokes pumpkin.
Yes. Okay. So do you want to know the story? It's a very cute story. I love Spookly the Square Pumpkin. It's a movie and it's a book and it was a musical at the Children's Theater.
That sounds like a cat ready to pounce over there.
Mm-hmm. Noisy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Spookly is a square pumpkin, and he gets teased by the other pumpkins because he is not round like they are. And so he's kind of the oddball. And so when there's a storm comes and the winds blow, and all the other pumpkins roll down the hill, but Spookly stops them from rolling out the fence because he's square and he doesn't roll. So he saves the day.
Okay. There's a lot of ideas for children's books out there.
It's a good message.
It's a great message. I would not have come up with that one. So I will acknowledge that much to you.
Wow.
Yeah. That really caught me off guard, like a square pumpkin and it blocks the hole in the fence. Okay. Good deal.
He saves them.
That's right. That's right. It's an anti-bullying message. Stick to the script here, Kreitlow. Okay. Coming up later on the show this hour, we have Veterans for Responsible Leadership. And then on Tuesday, we have a special guest, former U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Marian Shapiro, part of the group National Security Leaders for America. Because right around 1,000 different retired national security officials have signed a letter endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris and speaking out against the dangers of putting Donald Trump back into the Oval Office. Also tomorrow, Yiling Zhang, who's a candidate in the 85th Assembly District around the Wausau area. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser and a guest from the National Farmers Union tomorrow as well. On Wednesday, our homeroom segment includes a segment on the impact of Trump's Project 2025 on education. On Thursday, Assembly candidate Christian Phelps from the Chippewa Valley and Senator Tammy Baldwin is part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good. That, again, is Thursday. She'll be on right around 7:30 or so here on Up North News Radio. It is a very busy week in terms of candidates who are coming into Wisconsin. Vice President Harris will be in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay on Thursday. Tim Walz will be in Eau Claire this morning, Green Bay this afternoon, and Governor Tony Evers and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer are going to be holding a bus tour throughout the next 3 days. They'll be hitting Wausau, Stevens Point, Green Bay, Hudson, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Portage, Madison, and Mequon. Jill Biden will be in Madison today. And Selena, you're going to be part of Governor Walz's visit to the Chippewa Valley today, I understand.
Yes, I get to be part of the motorcade today, which is okay. Kind of a different experience. We looked up with Emery and I, not understanding, you know, what a motorcade is. We looked that up. There's a video that shows what all the vehicles in a presidential motorcade are for. That was very interesting. But then it was like a simulation video. If there's a sniper and if there's a bomb under a manhole cover.
Oh, okay.
What each vehicle does.
Okay, well, it's good to know they all have a role there.
They do.
Clearly, they've learned some lessons from, I don't know, past events, maybe. So, but the main event in Eau Claire is on the campus, I believe. Is that yes. Where the governor's going to be?
Yes. They will be speaking about young people voting. That's the topic.
That's it. Okay. All right. So we'll be learning much more about that. And Selena's working on stories about voting basics, and also answering some questions about voting, like, you know, are there really cases of dead people voting? And what do you do about people who are incapacitated? You know, can you play a role if you feel like somebody is not in a position to vote? And so we'll hear from those folks after the break. Who was it that you talked to over at Eau Claire City Hall?
Rebecca Drager. She was a deputy city clerk.
Okay.
And she, we want to talk about that now.
I'm going to talk about it right after we do a little sports and a commercial here and hear more about that from Rebecca. So thanks for that. At 7:17, we'll cover a little sports here. Of course, the Green Bay Packers were winners over the Arizona Cardinals. Romeo Doubs wanted to make amends after serving a one-game suspension for what the Packers described as conduct detrimental to the team. Doubs caught two of Jordan Love's four touchdown passes in the Packers' 34-13 victory over the Arizona Cardinals. They are next playing at Lambeau Field Sunday at noon against the Houston Texans. And you can see that game, or hear that game rather, on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, and WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. The Badger football team had no problem with Rutgers 42-7 on Saturday. The Badgers are now 6-0 all time against Rutgers. Over the past two games, the Badgers have outscored their opponents 94-13. The Badgers are in Chicagoland to play Northwestern this coming Saturday at 11 a.m. And that game will be on stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more about that. The Badger women's volleyball team, perfect straight set victories on Friday and Sunday against Maryland and Northwestern. They are ranked 9th in the country. Their next match is home Friday against 11th-ranked Oregon. The top-ranked Badger women's hockey team rolled over Minnesota Duluth in a pair of games. They next play the Minnesota Gophers in the Twin Cities Friday and Saturday. And the Badger men's hockey team was upset in their season opener by Lindenwood and won in overtime on Saturday. Back with more after this on Up North News Radio. You're Up North.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. And today I've got some good news about prices, especially at the pump. Gas prices are the lowest that they've been in years right now. The statewide average in Wisconsin is about $3.02 a gallon. And there are 10 counties, including Eau Claire and Sheboygan, where the average price at the pump is under $3. Gas prices have been heading south since this summer when Biden and Harris released a million barrels of oil from one of our big reserves to help us avoid a summer gas price surge. And I am all for doing whatever we can to keep gas prices down. So I don't want to hear any more of this talk about tariff taxes on imports. Half our gas comes from overseas. I can't afford to pay more for that. Let's keep our gas prices down. For more Everyday Money news, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Natalie Maines turns 50 years old today. Get all of today's birthdays and other historical notes in our history lesson at 6:50 every morning. If you'd like some more information on the election, have we got places for you. There's Dan Schaefer's 2024 voter guide over at civicmedia.us. And you can check out the voting guide at upnorthnewswi.com for information on registration, voting basics, and more. Or you could listen to Selena Heller, who's here now after talking to an official in Eau Claire about a couple of concerns that people have with every election campaign. Selena, let's deal with competency and voters who are no longer with us. But let's start with what she had to say about folks who are, you know, getting older. They might have dementia or confused or whatever, and where the responsibility lies with allowing them to vote.
Well, you would think a family member, well, I'm sure family members get involved, right? Like, oh, no, maybe you shouldn't vote, or, you know, you're not thinking quite regularly. So it's not a family member responsibility. It's not a friend. It's not a guardian, even. It's left up to the court. So everybody has the right to vote is a fundamental right of every American citizen, with the exception of legal competency and the grounds for removing the right to vote from another person as a qualified person. So this is what Rebecca Drager, the former Eau Claire deputy city clerk, had to say about that.
We do get a lot of questions about competency, and so this is normally with family members calling in saying that a parent or an aunt or an uncle or somebody might be in a care facility and they think that their mental capacity is diminishing and that they shouldn't have a right to vote. That's actually not the law. We have to leave it up to the voter. If the voter wants to vote, whether maybe their mental capacity is diminishing or not, they still have a right to vote if they're registered and they tell us that they want to. The only way that they don't have a right to vote is if they were adjudicated incompetent by the court itself. Those are also things that we're notified of via WisVote from the state as well. And we're made aware of those almost immediately. We send out letters. We then deactivate the voter's profile also so that we make sure that they don't end up on any lists like that where they are able to vote. But family members with power of attorney and things like that think that if they say that that capacity is diminishing on, in their eyes, it's ultimately not up to them by state statutes. And our SVDs are trained to follow the protocols appropriately to allow any voter to be able to vote unless they meet that adjudicated incompetent note by the court system.
And I would add as an editorial comment that there are plenty of adult children who don't like the way their parents might be voting and want to play a role in that as well. It is up to the voter or a court, or there is a process in place. Now, Selena, about the legendary dead voters out there. I'm reminded of the movie Splash, Tom Hanks, Daryl Hannah from way back when. I think it was in that movie that there was a character who every day she'd get the obituary page and she'd read it and then she'd go into her phone book. And she'd scratch the number out because she wanted her phone book to always be up to date. It's not quite like that at City Hall, but there is a process.
Well, they do look at obits, actually, for one of the things. So it's just funny. But no, so election officials continually remove deceased voters from the voter roll. So whether that be they're just comparing information every day from things like death records, the Social Security Administration, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, just to make sure all voter registration statuses are up to date. So every single day, they're all comparing all information across the state. And this is what Rebecca Drager, the former Eau Claire deputy city clerk, has to say about what they do particularly.
Deceased voters, if they were already registered, we actually here, every municipality is going to be a little bit different, but here in Eau Claire, one of my office staff members, when they're here, they go through every single day, they go through all of the obits that are there, death notices, and then they also check all of the funeral home websites in our immediate area to look for anybody that has since passed away, and then we double check our WisVote system to see if they were registered in our municipality. If they were, we print out their obit and we will deactivate their voter file digitally so that it can no longer be viewed. Like if somebody went to MyVote, they won't be able to type the information in and pull up a voter record at that point. That information does stay in WisVote, but then we also pull their like physical registration, and that stuff is checked every day. So if somebody does die, like they voted absentee and they pass away right before election day, we'll go through and we'll pull that absentee ballot out, make note on it so that it can be rejected appropriately due to them having passed away.
So there you go. Accountability and transparency and a lot of other good information. So look for Selena's stories on Up North News about that. Selena, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah. Have a good good time in the motorcade there. And we'll look forward to your coverage from Governor Walz's visit as well. Before we turn to our guests at Veterans for Responsible Leadership, we've got a couple of quotes from Vice President Kamala Harris to pass along. In this first one, and we'll play the second one after the break. It's just a story about transparency. And again, we've just talked about voter transparency and the transparency in City Hall. What about from our presidential candidates? That is sorely lacking from Donald Trump.
And he's not, but here's the thing, North Carolina, and he's not being transparent with the voters. He's not being transparent. So check this out. He refuses to release his medical records. I've done it. Every other presidential candidate in modern era has done it. He is unwilling to do a 60 Minutes interview. Like every other major party candidate has done for more than half a century. He is unwilling to meet for a second debate. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. Why does his staff want him to hide away? One must question. One must question, are they afraid that people will see that he is too weak and unstable to lead America? Is that what's going on? So, folks, for these reasons and so many more, it is time to turn the page.
And we will talk more about that with our guest from Veterans for Responsible Leadership right after this. You're up north.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A poultry processor in Minnesota is shutting down, and it's impacting some Wisconsin farmers. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. The latest update that we've got on the closure of Pure Prairie Poultry and its impact on Wisconsin farmers next.
You've got choices. You've got options. And selections, favorites, picks, takes, votes, preferences, leanings, whatever you call them. What's important is that you've got them. At Wiffles Hybrids, we've made our choice to remain an independent U.S. farm family-owned company, free to make the best decisions for our business and that of our customers. So make your choice, or whatever you call it, and plant your independence. Wiffles Hybrids.
As many as 50 poultry producers that had been contracting with Pure Prairie Poultry out of Minnesota are now left with birds that they can't afford to feed some of those farms in western Wisconsin. Kelly Wilfert is an agriculture attorney with University Extension. She says this is just one of the topics that she'll be watching for upcoming seminars this winter.
I've been following the Clean Water Act lawsuit in northern Wisconsin that has the potential to impact our cranberry growers, and of course, more recently, the poultry processor bankruptcy and then dismissal of bankruptcy that's impacting our Wisconsin poultry growers. As these topics continue to develop, we want farmers to have a trusted resource that's able to tell them, you know, what is happening, an explanation of that legislative change, a little bit of practical guidance of what does it mean for Wisconsin farmers, and how should they maybe think about it as they move forward in their operation.
Kelly Wilford, she's an agriculture attorney with the University of Wisconsin Extension System. Now, as far as the Pure Prairie poultry situation, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, along with Wisconsin and Iowa Departments of Agriculture, are in touch with producers that are still in possession of birds that the company can no longer pay for. That becomes an issue of animal welfare as much as it does financial restitution. As the story develops, we'll be posting information at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
That's a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. Again, as I said, we'll be posting more information as we receive it at MidwestFarmReport.com, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. I'm PM Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms by later this afternoon. Our high near 55. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20 this morning, dying down to 5 to 15 this afternoon. Rain and thunderstorms tonight. Could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch or more. Our low 40. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by Will Ragland, Center for American Progress Action Fund's Vice President of Research. We're going to talk about Trump's failed record on manufacturing. Don't miss
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Days past 18, he was waiting for the bus in his army green set.
Before we turn to our guests from Veterans for Responsible Leadership, I wanted to play one more cut from Vice President Harris over the weekend. We just talked before the break about the lack of transparency on Trump, but obviously there are national security concerns. We're going to talk again tomorrow with Ambassador Miriam Shapiro, representing a group of hundreds of national security officials retired who have concerns about Trump. And it's not just them. It's people who have been close to Trump, as Vice President Harris tells us.
Never again. And the people who know him best know it. His former national security advisor, two of his former defense secretaries, his former chief of staff in the White House, his own vice president, have all warned America Donald Trump is unfit to serve. Just listen most recently to what we heard General Milley said. General Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs under Donald Trump, it was just reported he said, quote, "No one has ever been as dangerous to this country," in referring to Donald Trump. Think about that. Think about that. And we can already see the harm he's up to as a candidate. Most recently, spreading disinformation in the wake of natural disasters. Blocking real solutions that would stop drug cartels from crossing the border when he tried to kill and did that border security deal. Because you see, Donald Trump cares more about scaring people, creating fear, running on a problem instead of what real leaders do, which is to participate in fixing problems.
To that end, let me introduce our guests now from Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Ben Dowell, a longtime Wisconsin resident, now joins us from Illinois. He organized Unfit to Lead, a rural billboard campaign around Wisconsin. He served as an engineer officer in the U.S. Army for 10 years in a variety of leadership roles, including combat deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. Ben Dowell, good morning to you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Pat. Appreciate you having me.
And Ken Harbaugh joins us from Cleveland, a former Navy pilot and mission commander who has helped lead several nationally recognized veterans organizations, is an outspoken advocate for fellow veterans with writings that have appeared in the New York Times, The Atlantic, The Hill, and more. He hosts the history podcast Warriors in Their Own Words and the award-winning podcast and YouTube series Burn the Boats. Ken Harbaugh, good morning to you.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
It's our pleasure. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your service, which continues to this day, perhaps not in ways that you might have been able to foresee back in the day. Ben Dowell, let's talk about the Rural Billboard campaign, and then we'll get into the group itself with Ken. But tell us about your own motivation, as I end up saying to everybody from candidates to volunteers to advocates, you don't have to be doing this. You could live a very quiet life right now, but you decided to not just speak up, but speak up and act. Why is that? And then let's talk about the actions you've been doing.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. My motivation really stemmed from January 6th and sitting in my living room, watching an attack on our Capitol. But more importantly, as things unfolded and the facts of how that actually transpired was terrifying. So that was really my underlying motivation. You know, we've never had a sitting president actually architect an attack on the Capitol, if you can even imagine that. And more tactically, though, I was driving along Highway 42 in Wisconsin outside of Kewaunee, and I saw a small billboard campaign. It was just a picture of Trump and David Epstein, right? Old buddies, they go way back, and we can't really talk about what those two guys got up to back in the 90s. But, you know, I saw this rural billboard campaign and it just inspired me. And I was like, you know what? I can do something like that. And we need to get this message out about how dangerous this individual is. And really, you know, and that was how things got started.
So you've been raising the funds to put up billboards. Any idea how many have gone up so far?
So we've got three boards up across three states. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the one outside of Abbotsford, Wisconsin, you know, between Chippewa Falls and Wausau. And then we've got one in the UP. And then we've got one in Georgia outside of Marietta on I-75.
All right. And can you tell us for the radio audience what they would see on the billboard?
So what you'll see is Donald Trump with one of his quintessential you know, faces making a funny smirk on the left-hand side. And then you'll see unfit to lead in very large, bold letters, which really comes from Mark Milley. And I appreciate you playing that clip of Kamala referencing Mark Milley. I actually served under General Milley on his division staff. And that was part of the inspiration as well. And then you'll see some thumbs down that says Jan 6 dereliction of duty. A reference to when he called veterans suckers, and then of course a reference to his deep admiration of the world's dictators.
Mm-hmm. Alicia Saunders writes in on YouTube, a legislative candidate. She says, I know that billboard. I see it when I'm cruising the edges of Assembly District 1 and Assembly District 2 where she's running. It's definitely getting noticed. Ken Harbaugh, can you tell us a bit more about, you said you've been part of several different veterans organizations, Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Tell us about that, your involvement in it. And again, the main message that you want to get out to, I don't know if it's Americans in general or veterans in particular.
Sure. Well, I serve on the board of VFRL, Vets for Responsible Leadership, and we could not do anything without the dedication of members like Ben. So, Ben, thank you for what you're doing there in Wisconsin. You inspire all of us. We've got a national campaign, but focused mostly on the swing states because that's where this election's going to be decided. And you know what? Veterans are trusted voices because every single one of us raised our right hand and said we would support and defend the Constitution. Some of us risked our lives for that. And across the country, there are very few groups left that a broad swath of Americans trust. But veterans are one of those groups. And we are speaking as loudly and compellingly as we can about the danger that this man represents to our democracy. And I think General Milley said it very well. He is the greatest threat to America today. And General Milley is not the Chicken Little type. When he says the sky is falling, we better listen.
As we know, there's no group that is you know, monolithic. There are you know, divisions in every group. There are no doubt. I mean, somebody put a comment on our Facebook page this morning, you know, veterans for Trump. But it's the concern, Ken, about folks in the rank. You have been following violent extremist movements in America, the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers. And, you know, there is a concern with both veterans and active duty members of the armed forces who, if not engaged actively in violent extremist movements, could be sympathetic to them. Is that a fair way to put it?
Well, there is a massive disinformation campaign underway targeting veterans. I mean, it's targeting the American public, broadly speaking, but veterans are a particular target of regimes like Vladimir Putin's. I just got back from Ukraine. I've seen on the ground what Vladimir Putin will do to a country when he is told, do whatever the hell you want. That's not a paraphrase. That's what Donald Trump told Vladimir Putin he could do in Ukraine. They are spending billions of dollars targeting Americans and veterans in particular with this disinformation. I mean, there are leading podcasters on the far right who are literally taking dollars directly from the Kremlin to spread lies about the American political system, about the security of our elections. So it's no surprise to me that veterans often fall prey to that. But the good news is that I am pretty confident, and we've got polling to back this up, that Donald Trump is going to suffer losses with the veteran vote, unlike any, especially Republican presidential candidate in recent history. He's already declined dramatically with active duty members, and I think he's going to lose the veteran vote in November as well.
Ben, what's your own impression of the veterans in your community, the folks that you talk to as you're working on this billboard campaign? I think it's fair to say that Donald Trump has lost a lot of the support that he had. But what I've consistently said is that he's also attracting new support from people who've never voted because they've never seen somebody who jives with their values until Donald Trump came along. And that's depressing, but it's also concerning. What is it that you're hearing in your neck of the woods?
That's a great question. I definitely hear a mixture of things. I have seen that. I do have a friend who is a veteran and really hasn't participated in voting too much. And all of the talk is attracting him to vote. But I'm definitely seeing people repeating some of these things in terms of the disinformation campaign. And what's happening is that they're just being overwhelmed with so much information. The faults and the violations that Trump has committed are just so deep and so voluminous that people lose track of what's true and what's not true. And it's just a perfect smokescreen, for a master con man, which, I think people underestimate Trump. And then the other side, I hear people saying things like, oh, well, he's a buffoon. He doesn't know what he's doing, but that's absolutely not true. He's a master communicator and master manipulator, and we need to recognize that. But those are some of the things I've heard. And then I definitely hear things just, plain common sense. When you see an attack on your Capitol, I hear folks saying like, we take an oath to the Constitution, and some of the veterans will say things like, when you violate your oath of office, that means something. And that we need to take note of that, and we need to take that into consideration when we go to the polls.
Ben also has a really good opinion column up on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, that I highly recommend reading as well. Ben, if folks have heard this and they are interested in supporting what you're doing with the billboard campaign, I know time's running short here, so what would you advise them to do in terms of either actions they can take for the campaign or actions they can take on their own?
Sure. For the campaign, I would say, check out the VFRL.org. I'll say it again, VFRL.org. That's the organization that we're here representing. You can donate to that organization directly. We are a nonpartisan PAC. And we're pushing hard before Election Day. And other than that, I would just say, get in a dialogue with people who you're talking to. Get in a dialogue about, what are ethics? What do ethical leaders look and feel and act like and sound like? And what does it mean to uphold an oath? And more importantly, what does it mean when you've shown a propensity to violate that oath?
Yeah. Ken, looking forward again to these final 22 days of the campaign, what are your own recommendations for people to be able to do just a little bit more than what they're doing right now if they've been motivated by the words you and Ben have been sharing today?
Sure. Well, I think Ben said it best. Talk to people. Talk to your friends. Talk to your families. Talk to your neighbors. VFRL.org is a great resource and a place you can give if you're able to. But this election is going to come down to those one-on-one conversations. People listening to those they trust and hearing, this man really is who all of the people who worked for him said he is, from Milley to Pence to Cassidy Hutchinson. If we can get that message across, if we can listen to the people who know Trump best, we're going to win in November.
It is in so many ways. It's been so puzzling for some veterans, and then also for the rest of us who have watched a guy who had, as you note in your column there, Ben, the multiple bone spur deferments for Vietnam. He insulted John McCain. He's insulted those who've served and died. His recent events comparing the Presidential Medal of Freedom to the Medal of Honor. Again, every one of these things. Oh, the Arlington National Cemetery. Photo op. Every one of these things on their own sounds like they would be disqualifying on their face. And the fact that they're not is testimony to the work that still needs to be done, even after everything that's been said from his vice president and his chief of staff on down. So I cannot thank you enough, Ken Harbaugh, Ben Dowell, for what you're doing and for calling attention to the real issues involved, not the veneer of a strong, confident person, which I'm sure some people like, but what's behind that if he were to be in office again. And I again truly thank you for what you're doing. Ben Dowell, Ken Harbaugh, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Good luck to you now. And coming up next, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell is going to be here with three things you need to know to get the week started as we wrap up our conversation for a Monday on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Once again, that's just the start of a very busy week here on Up North News Radio. Tomorrow, Ambassador Miriam Shapiro, a former national trade representative. She's also worked throughout the U.S. government, serving her country in a variety of roles. And she is part of National Security Leaders for America. We will hear from her around 6:30 tomorrow morning. At 7:05, Yi Leng Zhang, a candidate for the 85th Assembly District. That's the one with incumbent Republican Pat Snyder, whose messages lately seem to be about bipartisanship and working across the aisle, which in no way, shape, or form is indicative of what the Wisconsin legislature has been like since 2011. And I'm sure Yi Leng Zhang will have some things to say about that. Tuesday morning at 7:30, we will have our friend Hans Breitenmoser in, a dairy farmer from the Merrill area. And he's bringing along a friend, Mike Strands, from the National Farmers Union in Washington, D.C. We will be talking about the things that did get done. No, we won't. We'll be talking about all the things that didn't get done when Derek Van Orden and the rest of the Republicans were running the U.S. House of Representatives for the past 2 years. Melissa Baldoff will be along on Wednesday for our climate check. At 7:30 Wednesday is our weekly homeroom segment with a guest who has been studying Project 2025 and its impact on Wisconsin. So we'll talk about the Wisconsin educational impact of Project 2025. Legislative candidate Christian Phelps will join us at 7:05 on Thursday morning. And then at 7:30 on Thursday is our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good. And they have had a lot of legislative guests and folks from various advocacy groups on over these past several Thursdays. This time around, they went a little bigger. And Senator Tammy Baldwin will be our guest Thursday morning at 7:30. A reminder to catch Courier Newsroom's podcasts on whatever pod platform you make your own. For example, Vibes Only comes out on Wednesdays. Co-hosts Brian Derrick and Glynis Mahar know the stakes are unprecedented and the future of democracy, like it or not, might hinge on the vibes that Americans are having based on the news they're getting. So they make sure that you're up to speed on politics, culture, and the need-to-know news of the week. Again, look for Vibes Only wherever you get your podcasts. I want to make one note. I said that Ben Dowell has a column up at UpNorthNewsWI.com, and he made so many good points in there, Greg. And one of them is that veterans make up 7% of the state population. And so they are a powerful force at the polls. Now, again, they're not going to, you know, all speak with one voice, but I'm sure there's plenty of veterans who just don't vote. They served, but they look at the political climate out there and say, well, no, I'm not going to. And, you know, maybe a column like that, maybe a guest appearance like that is the thing that will motivate them to show up and vote on November 5th.
I really hope so, because it's, you know, it's their giving of their time, sacrificing, whether it's their, you know, whatever that may be, and to help make this country better and freer and all those things. And I really want, you know, would want them to be part of that process. There's a house that I pass when I leave here every day that has a Veterans for Trump sign in their yard. And, you know, I see lots of Trump signs, see a lot of Harris signs too, but that's the one I always want to knock on the door and be like, just tell me why. I'd love to know why. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to judge you. I just want to know why you as a vet support this man. It baffles me, honestly.
For me, it went back to somebody very close to me who served, and I was blown away that when Donald Trump was new as a candidate, and he made that crack about John McCain. You know, I like people who don't get caught. And I thought, well, this guy's dead in the water. And instead, this person very close to me said, oh, yeah, I kind of see what he means. I'm like, what are you talking about? You served. You know, he served. And Trump didn't serve. And it's very denigrating. Well, I just kind of like the things that he says. And that's why I want to get people to go past the vibe, past the tone, look at the actual substance. And I think that's going to be a difference maker in this race, a race that is covered so in such a sharp degree by Terry Bell and the rest of the news team at Civic Media. Terry joins us with three things you need to know. Terry, good morning.
Hey, Pat. Yeah, how are you? Sorry I'm late.
Good. Oh, no worries here. So we've had a busy one, and that doesn't just include politics, but it also includes those recent hurricanes that have hit the country. And I, I'm aware of it being married to a physician, but a lot of folks may not know Wisconsin hospitals are having to stretch some of their supplies because of the hurricane.
Yeah. So what happened is Hurricane Helene took out a big factory in North Carolina that makes much of the nation's supply of intravenous fluids. So, yeah. So you may know if you're a physician, you may know if you have a procedure scheduled and you've had to have it postponed, because that's one of the ways they're making the supply stretch, is putting off those operations that can wait. In the meantime, also, the FDA is importing IV fluid, something the U.S. normally doesn't do. But this is, extraordinary circumstances.
We have mentioned as well a big thing. I mean, it starts right away this morning between Vice President Harris, Governor Walz, and all kinds of surrogates. They are just going to be blitzing Wisconsin this week.
Boy, oh boy. Tim Walz in Eau Claire and Green Bay today. Jill Biden's in Madison tonight. Senator Bernie Sanders is in Milwaukee today. And those are just the well, Tim Walz is a candidate. Lots of surrogates. And then Kamala Harris herself will be in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and La Crosse on Thursday. So last week was kind of a lull in visits, and but that's ramping up again.
Yeah. And then, of course, we've spoken at length about comments that Trump made. I didn't have time for this one, so I'm glad it's on your list of three things you need to know. Very quickly here, Elon Musk's PAC is really kind of calling the shots here on get out the vote efforts.
Yeah, they're taking over a big share of the Donald Trump get out the vote effort in Wisconsin. His America PAC is reportedly merging with the dark money group, the far right dark money group, Turning Point Action. They're going to be focusing on people who they've identified as Trump supporters, but probably haven't voted in a few elections. And Elon Musk and Donald Trump
coordinating in ways, their efforts. Yeah, that I would say are questionably legal. Terry Bell, thank you so much. Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air. We appreciate you being here for Up North News Radio. Enjoy your day. We'll see you Tuesday morning here up north.
Your new choice. Real News. Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Kelly Robinson from the Human Rights Campaign. Hour number two, donating blood, more important than ever. We're going to talk diversity. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
The stars of Bruce City Wrestling return to the Waukesha Elks Lodge Saturday, October 19th for Nightmare on Springdale Road with costume contests for kids and adults. The unholy one, Sean Priest, will defend the BCW World Championship against Marvelous Ethan Matthews. Yeti Henderson is ready to rock as he vies for the Elks Lodge 400 title against the one-man riot squad, Gunnar Wicks. And the BCW Tag Team Champs, the Evil Steppas, will face off against the returning Caribbean Arrogance. Cards subject to change. Go to BruceCityWrestling.com for tickets. Doors open at 6:45. Saturday, October 19th, Nightmare on Springdale Road. Be there!
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.